Bye weeks are hitting. Injuries are also hitting. Have no fear. We got the dank ranks at the running back position starting right now. What is up, TFA fam? Welcome into the week 6 running back rankings show. We're going to go over our top 24, give you some guys at right outside that range that you can feel confident plugging in and guys that we are interested in playing this week. Before we jump into it, I do just want to quickly mention we are excited that we are partnering up with Thrive Fantasy this year. If you are unfamiliar with their platform, think DraftKings, FanDuel, you know, DFS, but you only use player props on the Thrive platform. Really exciting. I've been playing the past couple of weeks. I like it a lot. They have given us a code for our listeners, and that is TFA for first-time depositors to use. If you deposit anywhere between $10 and $100, they will match you dollar for dollar on your first-time deposit. So you can go over to the App Store, download the app, or you can go to thrivefantasy.com and get it there as well. Make sure you let me know if you're jumping in any contests. I'd love to jump in with you. So, Kev, with that out of the way, like I said, we got Barkley missing some time. We got the bye weeks kicking off this week. We have 4 teams on bye, so make sure you're paying attention to that. And we have another London game. So make sure you guys are keeping track of your lineups. Make sure you have everything set. Let's jump into the rankings. Going to go over our consensus rankings for this week. Kicking things off with McCaffrey at 1. We're expecting him to come back this week. Jonathan Taylor at 2, Zeke, Austin Eckler, Dalvin Cook, James Robinson, Aaron Jones, Nick Chubb, Najee Harris, Derrick Henry, Antonio Gibson, and then DeAndre Swift to round out our top 12. Obviously, if you have any of these guys, you're plugging them in almost on a week-to-week basis. Anyone here in the top 12 that you really want to hit on?
Yeah, I just wanted to touch really quickly on Antonio Gibson. I know he's somebody that's kind of hasn't necessarily gotten the role that we were all kind of hoping for, but he's still been very productive despite the limited usage in the passing game. Anyways, so obviously he gets the matchup against the Chiefs this week, and the theme of the of every week now is just this Chiefs defense is horrendous, and they can't stop anybody on the ground. They can't stop anybody through the air. It doesn't really matter. So Antonio Gibson has 67% of the opportunities, 59% of the snaps. He's averaging 15.8 carries per game, only 2.6 targets per game, and that is what's limiting his ceiling a little bit. 313 rushing yards, 119 receiving yards, 4 touchdowns, but he is 15th in fantasy points per game. Now, if you look at his receiving usage, he is running 11 routes per game, 8% target share. He has an 11.9 yards per reception, which is second among all running backs, and 2.13 yards per out run, which is 12th among all running backs. He's also 4th in evaded tackles, 12th in yards created, and 22nd yards created per touch. So he's been really efficient. It's just he's just not seeing the volume we were hoping for. But if you really look at it, McKissick is only running 15 routes per game. So it's not like he is being overshadowed by him by a large amount. But McKissick is getting an 11% target share, and he has 150 receiving yards and 2 touchdowns. But, you know, when you go against Kansas City, they are 11th at fantasy points per game to running backs. They are 31st in pass DVOA. They are 26th at adjusted line yards, 32nd in power, 29th at second level. So, like I said, you can run all over this defense. You know, a lot of teams have been choosing lately to throw on them because they are offering nothing there in terms of resistance either. But I do think this sets up to be a really big game for Antonio Gibson. So I love him this week. And I think you can start him with confidence. I know some people may be a little soured a little bit because of he's not seeing the pass catching volume, but he's still seeing double-digit fantasy performances every single week. It's just he's just not seeing as large of a target volume, I think.
Yeah, the biggest thing I was worried about going into last week was that injury with a stress fracture in the shin. It seemed like he was, you know, kind of brushing it off, but every other, you know, pro football doc, every other, you know, PT and guys like that on Twitter and whatnot, who also contribute to the fantasy space, was like, this is not an injury just to brush off. So I was hesitant on him last week, and he still goes out and gets 22 opportunities. So until he misses time, you're plugging him in. And I think last week was definitely something pushing in a positive direction on the injury front. Anyway, I just want to take a quick second just, you know, to appreciate the fantasy greatness of Austin Eckler. 4 straight weeks of top 8 fantasy performances. You know, you can file that in. You love to see it. But the guy I want to talk about real quickly, who I'm surprised that I'm talking about, I thought you were going to bring him up in this segment, and that's James Robinson. You know, Urban Meyer has been a complete donkey on and off the field this year, but the one thing we can all agree on that he's actually gotten right was putting the Carlos Hyde shit to rest. After the first 2 weeks, so from weeks 3 to 5, J-Rob has been the RB4 and half PPR scoring, averaging over 20 points per game. And he's done that without really being all that involved in the passing game. He only has 9 targets and 8 catches over that same time period. So even if he starts to fall off in terms of his touchdown performance, if he can start getting involved a little bit more as a pass catcher, that can help, you know, float him and sustain that production. So he shouldn't have any issue really staying around this same range for the rest of the season, to be quite honest. So he's just someone who I want to touch on after having that slow start to the season. We can move on to our RB2s now, because like I said, any of those guys you have, you're plugging in and you're not even really thinking about. So kicking things off for us at 13, we have Joe Mixon, followed by Daryl Henderson, Kareem Hunt, Chase Edmonds, Daryl Williams, Leonard Fournette, Damian Williams, Josh Jacobs, your boy Zach Moss, Javonte Williams, Melvin Gordon, and then Miles Gaskin at 24. I'm just frustrated. That is the sound of frustration in my voice with Miles Gaskin. Kev, guys, 13 to 24, who do you want to touch on in this RB2 range for your rankings?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, one, we do have Joe Mixon at 13. I think it's more of just, there's a lot of really good matchups this week for running backs, because Joe Mixon against Detroit feels like a smash play. I will say that he was limited a little bit last week with, he was not given the full complement of workload that we usually see from him. Samaje Perine was more involved than what we typically do, but he was also coming off that injury, so I would assume they were just kind of being careful with him. Right. I would assume that he kind of gets back more into the 80% opportunity share. So I do think Joe Mixon is an absolute smash play against Detroit. We play running backs against Detroit every single week, and that's not going to change anytime soon. You know, hitting on, you know, listen, Daryl Williams, I was encouraged because, I mean, he actually ran 29 routes last week once CEH left and was targeted 5 times, which is like, oh, okay, now all of a sudden we want to target our running backs. You know, we didn't do it with CEH, but now we're going to do it with Daryl Williams. And, you know, CEH was placed on short-term injured reserve today. Yeah. He's going to miss at least 3 weeks. It could be – it's probably going to be longer than that. It did not look good. And there's already been reports early this morning came out that Marlon Mack is on their radar. Marlon Mack actually looked good. And I will say this, it was a feather in the cap of hopefully Cam Akers when he comes back, because being able to see a running back with a ruptured Achilles to be able to go out and perform and look as good as he did. He looks explosive. He looks really good. So regardless of that, I will say this, if Marlon Mack is sitting out there, I would stash him, because I think somebody's going to trade for him. And maybe it's Kansas City, and, you know, we'll see. But for this week, it's not going to matter. Marlon Mack wouldn't even have a role anyways if he was traded to Kansas City. So for Daryl Williams, I think he's going to be involved in the passing game. Washington doesn't really scare me all that much either in terms of the run game. I think they're like 11th in fantasy points per game allowed to running back, or somewhere right in that range. They're not great either. They're in the bottom half of adjusted line yards as well. So Daryl Williams, I think, is a decent play this week. I do think Jerick McKinnon is going to be involved as a pass catcher, but I wanted to hit on him because I know people are going to have some questions about him. People are going to be adding him on waivers this week and wanting to know what to do with him. For me, it really just depends on who else you would have, but I think he's a viable, you know, RB2 this week, because I do think he's going to be utilized in the passing game as well. So I wanted to touch on him. Zach Moss, listen. Zach Moss continues. He was one of my guys over the offseason that I liked as a kind of a late round sleeper that I felt like people were way too low on. And he's really performed pretty well. He had that scratch earlier in the year that kind of, you know, threw some things off, and people thought, oh, well, maybe Zach Moss isn't going to be utilized. Well, that's really changed, because each and every week his snap share has risen. On the year, he has a 52% opportunity share, 11.5 carries per game, 16 red zone touches, which is 8th among all running backs, where he's being utilized down there. He also has 2 goal line carries, which is top 15 among all running backs, 184 rushing yards, 94 receiving yards, 11 routes run per game, 4 touchdowns, and he's 14.5 fantasy points per game, which is 19th among all running backs. So he's been a pretty solid, consistent RB2 since returning, from that week 1 scratch. And he's also 24th in evaded tackles and 11th in yards created per touch. So he's been very efficient with his opportunities as well. Attached in this offense, one of the best offenses in all of the league with Josh Allen. He is going to continue to see opportunities. He's getting goal line carries. And so I like Zach Moss. And this is a great matchup against Tennessee. Tennessee is 23rd in adjusted line yards, 26th in power, 26th in second level. They've also allowed the 14th most rushing yards, and they're tied for the 6th most rushing touchdowns allowed on the season. And again, some of this with the rushing yards has more to do with the fact the teams are just throwing all over them because their secondary is straight doo-doo. So I like this matchup for Zach Moss. I probably could even have him a little bit higher, but I like Zach Moss, and I think you can start him with confidence this week, you know, probably for most people in their flag.
Yeah. Makes a lot of sense. You touched on Cam Akers. You talked about Daryl Williams. I'm going to now talk about Daryl Henderson. If you'd have told me at the beginning of the year that I would be excited to talk about James Robinson and Daryl Henderson in the same show, I wouldn't have believed you, but it's why we love fantasy. Here we are. Henderson has been extremely consistent across his four active games, has a touchdown in three or four games. Has been a high to mid RB2 the entire year. In the games that he hasn't scored, in the game that he didn't score, rather, he put up 116 total yards with 5 catches, and now he gets a matchup against the Giants, who have given up the 7th most half PPR points per game to the position. And then, obviously, all the injuries they have on the Giants side of the ball. I think we see another 80-plus yard game with a high likelihood of a score out of Henderson in week 6. I know there was a little bit of a stink on Twitter about, you know, Sony Michel's involvement. We really didn't see Sony Michel involved in that offense until Daryl Henderson got a little banged up, missed a couple drives, and then toward the end of the game, Michel was kind of mixing in there a little bit. But I think we've seen enough through the past 2 weeks that if Henderson is not banged up and he is healthy, he's going to be the guy running the rock there. So I really like Henderson this week. Leonard Fournette, you know, I came a little hot, came a little spicy last week with putting him in my top 12, and he did not finish that far off. He was RB15 and half PPR scoring. And, if you would have told me at the beginning of the week, or if you would have told all of us at the beginning of the week that score was going to end up the way it did, I think we all would have had Leonard Fournette a little bit higher in our rankings. Now he gets a matchup against Philly. Obviously, it doesn't matter what the score is in these games. Tampa Bay is just going to keep throwing. They're going to keep Tom Brady just letting him sling it all over the field. But I do think Leonard Fournette makes some sense as another, you know, mid RB2 this week. I have him a little bit higher than you do as we sit here now. But we will be putting out some ranking updates later on in the week on Twitter and Instagram. So you can look for those over there. McKev, was there anybody else in the RB2s you want to talk about, or do you want to talk about some of these guys who are in the RB3 range and beyond?
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I just wanted to hit really quickly on Myles Gaskin. This is a great matchup against Jacksonville. I mean, I don't think anybody – it's funny because last week, I think for a lot of the week people were talking about, you could drop Myles Gaskin, right? Like, oh, he's droppable and everything else. And then he just goes out and smacks everybody across the face with his 31 fantasy point production that he had last week, which is just insane. But I think he's going to be hard to trust because the week before he was not involved at all. And then last week he comes out and was just absolutely – like the center of the game plan, which some of it makes sense. The matchup they had against Tampa Bay, teams are just not running against them. They're like, nope, we're out on that dog. We know your secondary is terrible. We are going to run it, or we are going to throw it all over you. We are not going to try to run it against that defense because they're like 31st or 32nd in rush attempts on them on the season. It's been like 64 total rush attempts on through 5 weeks that teams have tried against them. So teams just are not running the football against the Bucs. So they utilize him as a pass catcher, but on the season, he has 53% of the opportunities, only 6.8 carries per game, but he has 5.2 targets per game, 167 rushing yards, 131 receiving yards, 2 touchdowns, but he's 19th in routes run, 14% target share in that offense, which is 14th among all running backs, 22 receptions, sixth among all running backs. He has a 1.06 fantasy point per opportunity. So he's been really efficient with the opportunities that he's been given, which is 11th most, 12.8 fantasy points per game. He is sixth in big run rate and 20th in yards created per touch. So he's been a really efficient. He's just not getting the opportunities that we expected him to, right? They're wanting to give the ball to Malcolm Brown. I don't get that. Malcolm Brown is extremely a jag. I think Myles Gaskin, when he's really given opportunities, he produces. But that's going to be the tough part with trusting him every week. I view him more right now. I think he's in a tier above, like Jamal Williams, guys like that who are going to be involved, who are definitely flex options every week, but do not expect him to do what he did this past week. I think as long as he's in PPR formats, as long as he is being utilized in the passing game, I think he is somebody you can trust a little bit. Now, and this is a great matchup against Jacksonville, and so, you know, hopefully that they continue to utilize him after this big performance he just had, but it wouldn't shock me either if they went back to Malcolm Brown in this game against Jacksonville, where you can run all over them because Jacksonville's terrible. They are fifth in fantasy points per game to running backs. They've allowed eight rushing touchdowns, which is I think it's eight, and then the next closest is six rushing touchdowns. They're 24th in run DVOA, so you can run all over this defense.
Yes, real quickly, somebody that I want to touch on went into the week last week questionable. Obviously, didn't do much in terms of fantasy, but that is Chase Edmonds. We're plugging him back into our RB2 rankings, but I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people who have questions about whether he is flex-worthy or not. I think he is in this matchup, despite the numbers that Cleveland is showing against running backs. They've given up the fifth fewest fantasy points per game and half PPR scoring to running backs, but I think it's going to affect somebody like James Conner a little bit more. They have given up two receiving touchdowns to running backs this week. So I think he's somebody, as long as, you know, the injury report is okay this week, I think he's someone who you could probably throw into your flex. If you were hit with bye weeks, hit with injuries, something like that, 12 team leagues and above, Chase Edmonds is someone I think you can go back to. And outside of that, man, like you're talking about, we like some of these matchups for, you know, the top, like, 12 to 16. And once we get outside of, you know, kind of that 18 to 20 range, it does start to get a little bit gross. You know, there's guys that we can never trust on a week-to-week basis that, like, if you are super desperate for whatever reason, maybe you want a zero RB approach, something like that. David Johnson, you know what I mean? He's clearly the preferred pass-catching option for Houston. Got to be playing from behind, going up, playing at Indy. So I think if you had to, in full PPR leagues only, I'm not really messing with him, even in half PPR leagues. But David Johnson, I think, is someone who, again, a desperation kind of play if you've just been banged up and hurt with injuries. And then Kenneth Gainwell. Obviously, it seems like the Eagles have gone full, you know, 2020 Buffalo Bills have just said, screw it. Like, we're not even going to attempt to run the ball. And then, you know, we've already talked about this matchup a little bit with Philly going up against Tampa Bay. We saw Kenneth Gainwell really involved in the game against Kansas City. So maybe we see something like that again going up against Tampa Bay, like I said, on the Thursday night game. Desperation play, somebody outside of, you know, the RB2 range, rather, who I think you could plug in if you absolutely had to. But it's definitely thin. I don't feel super great about it, but I do think it makes some sense with how we're expecting this game flow to go on the Thursday night game.
A few more guys for me in this RB3 range for me that I wanted to hit on really quickly. I wanted to hit on the Chicago situation right now. You know, Khalil Herbert last week and Damian Williams, they both split carries. I mean, split right down the middle. Khalil Herbert played 50% of the snaps. Damian Williams played 50% of the snaps. Khalil Herbert had 18 carries. Damian Williams had 16 carries. Four routes run for Khalil Herbert, nine for Damian Williams. He totaled 75 yards, and then Damian Williams had 84 yards and a touchdown in that matchup against the Raiders. Now, this week, they're playing Green Bay, and Green Bay has not been very good against the run either. They're 27th in adjusted line yards, 29th in open field, and 29th in run DVOA. So this is definitely a defense that you can run the ball against. And so, to me, it's going to be more of a game of, I think, game script, right? So if they fall behind really quickly, which you can do that really easily against Aaron Rodgers, then I think that you probably don't see Khalil Herbert touch the ball nearly as much as week. You probably see Damian Williams used more as the pass catching running back here. And it kind of played out a little bit I was somebody who I kept telling everybody last week that I think Khalil Herbert should be definitely an ad last week. Now people are going to be doing it this week because I felt like that he was going to be far more involved than people thought he was going to be. And I think he's going to play a little bit more of that David Montgomery role where he's going to get more of the early work. And then Damian Williams will get the mop up, not the mop up, but the change of pace role here in this offense. But he's definitely probably more of the preferred pass catcher than Khalil Herbert, which Khalil Herbert just seen zero targets. But I do think that Khalil Herbert at least is a decent flex option this week. It is going to be a little bit thin because, you know, if things get away from him, and this game in Green Bay really gets out to an early lead quickly, Khalil Herbert may not, you know, get nearly as many opportunities as we'd expect. But I think as of right now, I think he's at least viable for this week. And then past that, like, I don't know about you, but I'm not excited to play Latavius Murray or any Baltimore Raven pass running back right now. They just have split this opportunities up so much, you know, between Devonta Freeman and Tyson Williams and Latavius Murray. I am just not excited to play any of these running backs. I will say Devontae Booker. I have him higher, a lot higher than you. I have him at 24. So I have him as a outside of a RB2 this week, lower end RB2. It was a little encouraging to see. I mean, he played 90% of the snaps last week in that game because Saquon Barkley obviously exited very early. He got 16 carries, he ran 17 routes, 4 targets, 3 receptions for 58 total yards and 2 touchdowns. He also had 3 goal line carries in that game. And so, which is already 8th most among all running backs. So for him, like, he's been actually really efficient as well. Really impressed the fact that he only has 23 carries, but he has 27 evaded tackles. 27. He has more evaded tackles than he does carries. So he has been very elusive, which that's 11th most among all running backs right now. And so I think Devontae Booker's in play. I know it's not a great matchup of what they're going to be getting, but I still think Devontae Booker against the Rams, like the Rams are an okay run defense. They're not some elite level run defense that we have to be shying away from that we just can't do anything with. I think he's going to get all the opportunities. He's going to be utilized as a pass catcher. And right now they have so many injuries to this backfield or to this wide receiver room that he's going to be utilized as a pass catcher as well. So in PPR formats, I think you can play Devontae Booker this week because I will say this, they have not ruled out Saquon Barkley yet. I would be shocked if he played, but with everything we've heard, but they did come out today. Joe Judge said that everything came out much better than what they were anticipating, but I would be floored if Saquon Barkley came out and played this week. I would expect him to miss this week, maybe next week, and then he'll be back. Very short-term injury for Saquon, which is awesome, but at least for this week, for Devontae Booker, the people that went out and spent all that, made it rain, that fab money or that number one waiver priority to get Devontae Booker, I think you could at least play him this week. I think he's a viable RB2.
Yeah, I have him sitting outside a little bit. Wasn't really planning on talking about him because I think we would both agree that people should be prioritizing Darrell Williams over Devontae Booker, you know, because of the offense, because of the matchup and the waivers this week. And I do think a lot of it rides on how many of those guys they get back in their lineup. Not counting Saquon, but you know, between Slayton, between Shepard, Kadarius Toney is now popping off, Evan Engram healthy again. So I think a lot of that will depend on, you know, how many of those guys come back this week. But yeah, if you get him, you're probably plugging him in because of injuries, because of bye weeks in that, you know, back end RB2 flex kind of range. But that is going to wrap things up for us, guys. If you have any questions, please drop them in the YouTube comments, or you can join us on the Discord for absolutely free. And don't forget to check out Thrive Fantasy in the App Store or at thrivefantasy.com and use our promo code TFA for a $1-for-$1 match if you're a first-time depositor of up to $100. And we'll see you there, and we'll see you on the next one.